Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Our meeting tonight, City Council meeting number 13, September 23rd at 6 p.m. There was an incident here in Iqaluit. Let's have a moment of silence for that purpose.
Queen Namik.
Thank you. There's no swearing in. First of all, adoption of the agenda moved by alternate Mayor Flaherty, seconded by Councillor Cuno. Questions or comments to our agenda? I see none. Those in favor? All in favor? Unanimous. Carried. Thank you. And also, the meeting minutes, number 12 minutes dated September 9, 2025. There has to be a mover. Moved by alternate Mayor Flaherty and seconded by Councillor Alukak. Questions or comments? I see none. All in favor, unanimously. Thank you. In this evening's agenda, if there's any declaration of interest, please speak. I see none. For delegations, there's Iqaluit RCMP Detachment Monthly Reports, July 2025, Sergeant Vilako Nikolovsky. Thank you for coming tonight to report of the Iqaluit RCMP detachment. The floor is yours.
Good evening. Thanks for having me tonight. Today I'm going to present our monthly report for the month of July. In July, we responded to 1,177 calls. In total, 555 calls were alcohol related. We had 198 detainees in our care. The members of the detachment engaged into 13 community engagement initiatives. Two files where individuals were charged for domestic violence, intimate partner relationship. The detachment members successfully seized 33 grams of cocaine that was seized by the officers. Mainly during the month of July, the members were involved in a community. Of course, the big event of the Canada Day, where members were engaged in all the festivities in the town, in the city. They were giving out stickers to the kids, participated in the town square activities. Also, members engaged into the proactive ATV patrols. It's been going well. They were been targeting all the high crime area in town. Also, they made a patrols during around the Sylvia Grinnell Park and the beach area. There was one check stop that was conducted in the month of July. Members used the weather to conduct some foot patrols. They made some bar patrols, walks, in order to enhance their visibility. The GIS unit investigated and completed the investigation into the theft and the B&E and the city public workshop yard. Two individuals were charged for that incident. Also, members engaged in and interacted with the elders of the community in different capacities. The NHL alumni is going strong. Actually, I had a conversation today with Corporal McIntyre, who confirmed that they're trying to raise more money for the event, and it's going well, and it's on track. That's about everything that I have to present tonight to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Sergeant Velasco. Any questions or comments from the councillors? Councillor Luca.
Thank you, Sergeant, for your report. I have a question about the total member hours. The ATV patrols, the check stop, and the foot patrols. ATV patrols are 8 hours. Check stop is 4 hours, and the foot patrols are 2 hours. Does that mean that was a total number of hours in the month of July that was put towards these three? Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Luca. Policy, Niklovetsky.
Thank you. For each activity, it's usually two members. So that time is divided between two members. So if it's 4 hours total, it's 2 hours per each member. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Thank you, Sergeant Niklovski. Follow up, Councilor Luka.
Thank you, Mayor Awa. Thank you for your answer. I wondered, though, if it's two members and it's 2 hours each, for example, and seeing that example, the ATV patrols is 8 hours, so that would have been 4 hours each. And is that all throughout the month of July, or is that within one evening or throughout a weekend? Because as we all know, our summer evenings and weekends consist of late nights of, you know, activities and events and people taking part in, you know, park activities. Especially in the lower core of Iqaluit. I wondered if you could maybe elaborate on what these hours consist of, if it's throughout a weekend or if it's throughout like a week or just for the whole month. Thanks.
Thank you. So the first patrol was conducted on July 2nd. Just gonna see the date. So that was on Wednesday, and usually the patrols are conducted in the evening. I asked for the officers to make the patrols pretty much from 6 o'clock till midnight or something like that. That we covered the busy time of the days, right? And same thing on the July 22nd. I can take a look exactly because we have reports for every patrol that was conducted. I can provide it with the specific time frames during the next meeting. I have that information available. Thank you.
Thank you, Niklovski.
No, Mayor Awa, and thank you for that. Sure, those would be great because it would be great to know, especially during the busiest time of year during the summer for the public, especially when it's in regards to public and when it's in regards to patrols, check stops, and foot patrols. As we all know, we do have an ongoing issue with the lower core of Iqaluit with the beer and wine store and public safety issues and loitering and a lot of public drinking. I wondered if perhaps at the next report that you do provide us, that you can include kind of more detailed data for us, for me, I'll speak for myself. However, now we're almost towards the end of September, going into the fall, colder days. I wondered if your staff will maybe perhaps consider doing maybe more patrols, whether it's ATV, check stops. Definitely check stops are always necessary on the weekends. As I said, the beer and wine store and public intoxication continues to be a huge issue in our community. And if that could possibly be considered moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Alukak, Chairman Niklovski.
Thank you. Yeah, certainly I'm able to provide that information, detailed information to you for the next meeting. As I said, we're tracking down all the patrols, time when they're conducted, how many members, usually two, and the location where they were conducting the patrols. So I will have that information available for you for the next meeting. Regarding the check stops, that's something that I'm going to encourage the members to do during the fall and patrol the high-risk area to continue during the fall and the colder temperatures. So, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Janikovsky, alternate Mayor Flaherty. Thank you, Mayor Ava. I just want to express my gratitude as the Iqaluit population is still growing. And we know that it's a busy time for the RCMP, especially during the nights, during the whole day and the evenings. I want to express my thanks, and they are the ones that are the first that see people that are under the influence. I am very thankful for, especially drugs that are that has been seized, and that's a quite a number of amount that was seized, the cocaine. I want to thank the RCMP for taking care of these and especially working toward these areas with hard drugs. Thank you. Thank you, Alternate Mayor Flaherty. And this is a comment, and it's not a question. Councillor Kunuk. Thank you, Chair. Mayor. I also want to express my gratitude as well.
Thank you for your services, especially probably a lot of work. Alcohol related is half of the activities you guys do. I don't know how we can help to make that number fewer. I also want to thank you for coming down. I see that you are acting commander right now. Congratulations. We're going to be talking about Beer and Wine Store later on in our agenda. Hopefully we will decide something that useful for our people. How's it doing?
That was just a comment. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Kunuk. We will be discussing in the what's in our agenda, and then we'll report to the RCMP tomorrow of what we had discussed tonight. Any other questions or comments? I see none.
You want to see? Get to me, Stevenson.
Mayana, it's about
Councillor Stevenson.
Thank you for your presentation. I wonder if we would just would be good to invite the staff sergeant to stay for that item later on our agenda. I'm not sure what your schedule is like, and I'm not sure how long the meeting will take, but it might be interesting to hear it firsthand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I approve that.
About the statistic 2025, you got new legal act, other territorial status, and list go on. And then I believe there is a criminal code that states about the public drinking and also intoxicating in public places. Would you be able to add some of those lists up those so that we can see that the RCMP members have charged any person public drinking or public intoxicating? Thank you.
Thank you. To make any changes to this report, I have to ask from the crops officer approval, because these reports are created by the crops officer and they're standard for the whole division. In order to make any changes, I have to get their approval first. However, if we're looking for a specific charges that you're inquiring, I can get that information to you outside of this report, if that's something that you want to receive. Thank you.
Yeah. Any more questions, comments? If not, thank you very much for coming for the report. Very well received. Moving on to our agenda. New award, number 5, member statement. Councillor Statement, Councillor Agluka.
Mayor Awa, good evening, Council, and those joining us online and here in the chambers this evening. As we begin the month of September, I wish to recognize the importance of this time for our community, for Nunavut, and for all of Canada. September 30th marks the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation, a day dedicated to honoring the children who never return home from residential schools, a day dedicated to standing with survivors and acknowledging the ongoing impact these institutions have had on Inuit, First Nations, and Métis people. Here in Nunavut, these truths are deeply personal. They are part of the lived experience of many families and community members. As an Inuk woman, a mother, a wife, and a community member, I feel the weight of this history, and I carry a responsibility to ensure we continue to listen, to learn, and to support healing. Reconciliation is not only about remembering the past, it is also about the future we are shaping for our children and grandchildren. It is about ensuring they grow up in a community where truth is spoken, healing is supported, and culture is celebrated. The story of Inuit is one of resilience, strength, and survival in the face of immense challenges. Our communities continue to carry forward the knowledge, values, and traditions that have sustained us for generations, while also navigating the lasting impacts of historical harms. It is important for all Nunavut Miut to take the time to learn about these histories, residential schools, forced relocations, the dog slaughter, and to seek understanding of how they continue to affect Inuit families today. This awareness is not about dwelling on the past, but about honoring truth, respecting survivors, and building the foundation for a healthier future together. Education and understanding are acts of reconciliation. By listening, learning, and walking alongside one another, Nunavut Miut can support healing, strengthen our communities, and ensure that the resilience of Inuit continues to guide us forward. I encourage all Nunavummiut to participate in community events and wear orange to honor survivors and remember the children. Take time to listen and learn from the stories of survivors with respect and compassion. Support healing initiatives, cultural revitalization, and organizations that walk alongside survivors and their families. Continue conversations in our homes, our schools, and workplaces about truth and reconciliation. Reconciliation cannot be confined to a single day. It is the ongoing work of how we choose to live, respect one another, and honor the resilience of our people. On September 30th and throughout this month and throughout the year, let us remember the children, support those who are healing, and commit ourselves to building a future grounded in truth, respect, and hope. Matna.
Thank you, Councillor Anglokak. Councillor Stevenson.
I wanted to make a statement today about the public service announcement on clarification of taxi voucher use that was put out by the city last week. I'm glad that the city put this out and helped to amplify the message for the taxi industry, though I do still feel that there are some unanswered questions that or clarifications that need to be made for citizens. I think first and foremost, public service announcement speaks to the use of older taxi vouchers. It does say that taxi industry will use those older vouchers for approximately 4 months following the fare increase, but are to be accepted beyond that point, but doesn't make clear when that would stop, though I don't think it should ever stop. It also later says that residents are encouraged to exchange any remaining taxi vouchers. I don't believe that that should be the responsibility of residents. I certainly am okay with large issuing groups returning vouchers and paying fair market for another set of vouchers, but an individual who's been given a voucher and has it in their pocket and kept it past the date shouldn't be required to go to the office to exchange a voucher and pay a quarter. It doesn't make logical sense to me. And then I will highlight that elders quite often were turned around, were told they couldn't use those vouchers, in spite of the fact that an elder fare is actually less than even the old fare, so they should have been accepted anyway. The taxi vouchers, however old they are, have been paid for. They're like cash and should be treated that way. I've defended the taxi industry over and over in my 16 years on this council. I've defended fare increases because I know the taxi industry performs an essential service for this city. But this inhospitable policy and even their sort of tepid nod to addressing the issue don't send a signal of service to the Iqaluit who ride in taxis every day. I think that we need a bit more clarity on the taxi voucher issue, and I think that I hope that that comes soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty. Thank you, Mayor Awa. I wasn't going to comment, but I heard on CBC in the morning, the city council who gets elected, we should be more vocal. And the person was talking about, I heard the story clearly, when he was talking about, the guy was talking who has lived in Iqaluit a long time, our Inuit-owned land where people go berry picking. There is just too much trash now. It's getting full of trash. I think it was on radio yesterday that healing center that's being built towards Apex, and beside the building that's being built, the entire outside area of it, all the way to the land outside of the lot, is all trashy. I think the city has a bylaw on how contractors that build things can be disciplined and monitored, and to use an example, in the city limits, there is construction happening over two big buildings are being built. I don't know what the bylaw is about the access road to there. It gets dangerous to even walk to the place that's being built. I don't know who's building the buildings. Maybe the city or somebody else. So that should be monitored better. So I'm talking about two things. And I'd like to say thank you in June. The city and Inuit had a community cleanup in Iqaluit. But there is a but. Looking at the land today, it's back to the way it was before the cleanup. I don't know what bylaws we have about it. I think they should be enforced more. I was asked to say this in council. Thank you. Thank you, Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty. Steve.
Mayor, and thank you, ADM Flaherty, for your comments. The city did have a pilot project this year of 8 casual employees that worked throughout the summer. We even extended it to the end of this month, but not at the full number of 8, around 4. They had tremendous success. That team did a phenomenal job around the city. I think what we're starting to see is that level of litter and that come back again now that we don't have a full force out there. In regards to ongoing projects within the city, the unsightly land bylaw is applied. We would encourage residents to reach out to us directly. Reach out to council, you folks reach out to us. We do go out and look at sites, and there's been some activity in the last couple of weeks of enforcement of that bylaw. This fall, we want to have a broader discussion with council and the community on additional things we could be doing as a city, working together with the business community, with residents, and keeping our community clean all throughout the year. So that's going to take some good open discussion, and that may include additional bylaw enforcement powers around littering and things like that as well. Enforcement should always be, in my opinion, the latter thing to use. We want to have good discussions with the community and with council and the business community on how do we work better together on ensuring the community stays clean all year round, like we've seen this summer. Thank you.
Thank you, CAO. This one is from me. In all of Canada, there is a committee of hamlets, or a federation of municipalities, and they try to get the federal government to make announcements about more money being made available to the communities. I think we can get their support. I always talk about, or I usually talk about this when we are having meetings down there. Us in Nunavut have to be treated differently than other municipalities, and there should be pots of money made available just to us. And to use an example, the way in other parts of Canada, the way things are done, like railways, trains, they have trains, and they can get financial support from the federal government, and we don't have trains, so we should find other ways to find more funding for us, transportation. And they have farms down south. We don't have any farms up here. So I try to make them understand the differences to try and get more support for our communities. And to turn to something else, us in the city and those of us who live in Iqaluit, We can work together better. I know that. We can talk to each other. I believe alternate deputy mayor of Polarity. Maybe I'm not vocal enough. We have to be more vocal to the citizens, especially me on the things the city is doing. And I will try to do more and be more vocal to our public. And working together is the best way in our community. And we know that Inuit have always have always helped each other and worked together, and we can still do that today and plan together so that we can move forward better. If there are problems, we can have discussions about it and correct them. That's what I understand. That's all for now. Any other comments on the matter?
I see none. Let's continue with our agenda. Number 6, none. Number 7, bylaws. First reading of bylaws. Bylaw number 1022, land acquisition bylaw for lot 10, group 1087. Plan 1221. There has to be a removal moved by alternate Mayor Flaherty, seconded by Councillor Kunuk. The first reading. There is no questions for a first reading. Those in favor? Those not in favor? Sorry. Carried unanimously. Number 7A2, bylaw number 1023, land disposal, bylaw for lot 4, plan 246, plan 4967. There has to be a mover. Moved by alternate Mayor Flaherty, seconded by Councillor Kunuk. First reading of bylaws. There is no questions for those. Those in favor? All in favor? Carried. Thank you. And the third one, bylaw number 1024, land disposal bylaw for lot 2, block 11. There has to be a mover for this. Moved by alternate Mayor Flaherty. Seconder. Seconded by Councillor Kunuk. At the first readings of bylaws, there's no comments. Those in favor? Three are in favor, one opposed. Carried, thank you. And also 7B1.
Ten 22 land acquisition by law, lot 10, group 1087, plan 1221. Need a mover or a seconder? Moved by Councillor Stevenson. Seconder. Seconded by alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty. Question, comment? Being none, all in favor? Unanimous, thank you. Second reading, 7B2, bylaw number 1023, land disposal bylaw, lot 4, plan 246, 4967, moved by Councillor Stevenson, seconder. Seconded by Councillor Agluka. Question, comment? Being none, all in favor? Unanimous, thank you. Second reading, bylaw number 1024, land disposal bylaw, lot 2, block 11, plan 1986. Need a mover, seconder? Moved by Auckland Deputy Flaherty, second by Councillor Adlucock. Comments and questions, Councillor Stevenson.
I'm wondering about, I think the last time that this came to council, I had asked about the former interactions with the city and the neighbors and the people in Apex who had asked that this lot be protected as a right-of-way to the water. I don't know if I, due to technical reasons, I wasn't able to attend two council meetings this summer, so I don't know if it was answered or not, but I'm wondering if that question was answered.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Can you go on? Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Stevenson, for the question. It was a committee meeting that you had missed, I believe, where staff did respond to those questions. We had conducted community engagement in Apex with the local residents. We went to the Elders Kamak. We posted a PSA and collected feedback on via email and phone call. And the feedback we received was positive of the development, and there were no reasons to not support the development. We do believe there was a trail in consultation with the elders. We identified that there was a trail, but it wasn't external to the site in question. It was a little bit further down the same road. And then we asked how the elders that lived in Apex, how they accessed the fishing area, and it was not through this lot. It was through an alternative method. And when we brought those results to the last committee meeting where the bylaw was retabled. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. Councillor Stevenson, answer your question. Okay. Any other question? No other question? All in favor? Three. Opposed? One, you want your name on? Okay. Thank you. Now, the no third reading, old business, non-new business, request for decision, car wash. I want a car wash. Stephen?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's an RFD that SED Bill Williams will present to you tonight on the possibility of council rescinding the temporary car wash ban. Before Bill gets started to take you through the RFD and some additional information there, I want to thank the residents of the city for continuing to do an excellent job with managing their water supply. And I also want to give a big shout out to the Public Works Utilidor crew. They've done a tremendous amount of work in the last few years on addressing a lot of the historical leaks in the system and detecting newer ones a lot quicker, while working with contractors on the ongoing projects to repair and replace a lot of the aging infrastructure. So just to give everybody a shout out, and Bill will take you through the RFD. Thank you.
Thank you, CEO Steve. Bill?
Thank you, Mayor Alwa. So this is a request for a decision is to rescind the temporary car wash ban and the water use restrictions. Administration is recommending lifting the temporary car wash ban, which was introduced to protect the essential water supply during low storage conditions at Lake Geraldine's reservoir. Since the ban's implementation, residents have consistently managed water use, and then thanks to the Public Works team conducting ongoing leak detection and repair efforts, conditions have now significantly improved. On September 9th, the writing of the RFD, Lake Geraldine measured 111.33 meters, approximately 0.03 meters above the spill level of the reservoir. Storage indicators indicates over 600 days of water. That's based on current trend demand, so that varies month to month, but between anywhere from 600 and 650 days of water demand based on consistent reporting. Over the past 3 years, it's shown a clear and sustained decline. Daily monitoring and weekly reporting will continue and ensure rapid response if conditions change, and we will have to request them in the future. We'll be able to bring them a lot quicker to council. Staff's recommendation is to rescind the car wash ban effective immediately and direct administration to issue a public service announcement within 7 days, continue weekly monitoring and reporting, and maintain delegated authority to reintroduce the restriction if necessary. This aligns with the policy condition and current conditions and supports residents and businesses with minimal impact. Benefits acknowledges the community conservation efforts and ongoing leak repair by Public Works and the Utilidor team and restores normal activity for residences and businesses. Disadvantages, potential short-term increase in water demand following removal of the ban, but mitigation will continue to monitor and reduce the targeted restrictions if demand trends worsen. I wanted to give a little bit of an update too, as well, to the numbers that were presented from September 9th in the RFD. We had another report that came in on the 16th prior to this meeting. So the current reservoir volume sits at over 1.6 million cubic meters of capacity, which based on demand trends is between 620 and 652 days. To give you a bit of a historical change, demand comparison from August 2025 to August 2024 was lower by 27% year over year. And September daily trends between September 24 and September 25 have gone down 33% on top of the natural inflows to Lake Geraldine with precipitation this year. So it's a clear downward trend overall with water consumption. Again, thanks to the Public Works team and the Utilidor, as well as engineering, on doing the critical replacements and repairs in the Utilidor and catching them sooner and meeting those targets. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Bill. Question, comment? I want to clarify that if this is passed with a resolution and that public will be able to do their car wash, would we have a limit of the time opening days and closing days, considering that the of the environmental impact, for example, that you know, when it's freezing time, you don't want the water on the ground and you'll be slippery. Thank you.
Thank you, Marwa. Staff don't have any recommendations at this point as far as a time limit. Our bigger thing was more so just making sure we have the ability to reinstate the ban if level changes in Geraldine require it to do so. Again, for context, we have a now instated a regular pumping program for topping up the reservoir, which we haven't had to utilize this year thanks to natural inflows. So our main focus is really just being able to lift the ban and then being able to reinstate it if required based on water levels.
Thank you, Bill. Any other question? Being Katime Kunup.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We can still wash our cars in somewhere else where there is a creek or anything like that, not coming from our water source.
Enemy Katime Kunup, Bill.
Thank you, Councillor Kunuk. Bill?
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you for the question, Councillor Kunuk. I'm going to caution my answer because I know Department of Environment may have some other concerns about washing in those areas or around creeks and rivers, so I'll leave those questions for DFO and for the Department of Environment. But as far as the city water, currently the ban is in place. If council makes that choice, we'd be able to use the city water for car washes.
when I meet Bill.
Thank you, Bill. Does that answer your question, Councillor Kunuk?
Moved by Deputy Mayor, Deputy Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty. Seconded by Councillor Agluka. A question common? Being none, all in favor? Unanimous, thank you. Okay. 9B, discussion item beyond one store public booking and task station, Councillor Kunuk.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I request this item to be discussed in this meeting because I heard people talking about the problem of alcohol in the Kaluit. Not only that, we also have a delegation some time ago talked to us about Beyond Wine Store. I feel that we never really answer that person who came to us. Just we never really discuss it.
I was switched to Inuktitut, and I also have heard when the beer and wine store opened, a lot of people from other communities, and perhaps they are controlled in their community or are not allowed alcohol in their community. But it has increased in these communities because bootlegging is happening. The people that come to Iqaluit go and buy from the store and bring it back to their community. This is an issue, and it is worrisome. And I wanted to discuss it, and I have heard that committee members in Rankin Inlet were asked to write a letter to the government regarding how much they can purchase, and they were brought back to regional level. This, I wonder if we can do the same idea and approach it this way, and I wanted to hear from you and what you think about it. And so I wanted to bring this up in this meeting. Thank you, Councillor Kunuk. Comments or questions? Alternate Mayor Flaherty. Thank you, Mayor Ava, and thank you, my councillor member Kunuk. And I think we discussed this last year as to how we can improve it or improve it. But as of today, nothing has seemed to be changed, especially for myself that I know and what I have witnessed or seen those that are out there holding beer or wine. And I have seen or have seen that they're from other communities that do this, and there's no rules or regulations that are visible. Just recently, when I was in Ottawa, I was walking towards the RCMPs were on foot watching, and they would see what they were carrying. If it was alcohol, they took it away from them. But here, we're just like letting them be. And the commissioner for this beer and wine store doesn't seem to care or seem to man this building. when I see people out there fighting or doing things that are inappropriate to each other, the government are the ones to monitor this. They are the ones to be responsible for this. Not us, not city, not the RCMP. I think we have to discuss this more or approach this about it, because they are the ones that are responsible for this. Because we see there's a law that you are not to hold an open beer or alcohol. I think it's all in Canada. I don't see a poster or an image with that law. I think the government or the legal commission has to educate the public more on how a individual doesn't have to hold on to a can that is open, consisting of alcohol. They can take it away from them, as the city and the RCMP. It's like we are the ones that are being blamed, but the ones that we are to blame, that are responsible for this, they're not being vocal about this or haven't mentioned anything. We have to direct them as the city, either by writing a letter to them as a city, the authority who is looking after these, invite the person to be a delegation to report to the council, and so that will there'll be an opportunity to question that. And we have been bringing this up every year. Nothing is changing, because those who should be responsible for this haven't said anything. But as a city, if we do something about this through laws or through letters, I think something can start improving. So I am supportive of what Matusala just brought up. As the RCMP reported, there were many numbers that is related to intoxication, alcohol-related calls. There's also a store close to the beer and wine store. It's not pleasant to walk around that store anymore. People coming out from the beer and wine store, once they get out of the store, they open the can and start drinking and start walking towards wherever they're walking. There's no bylaws there, or the people that watch RCMPs have other responsibilities, and we have to approach this in a different way. And they reported about a legislation about how much money they are making, how much money is coming in. That's all they're thinking of. They're not considering any other issues on this. These laws and rules have to be more visible. The laws, through use them like technology such as the computers. Let's educate the people out there more. As I said, it's been a number of years that this item has been brought up. Even way before I was here, nothing has been changed. The people are young people who are reaching the age to drink, they don't have anything to see. They don't have any law related to law, anything to see. We thought when the beer and wine store would open, we wondered what kind of rules or laws would be visible. Up to today, I have never seen a law or image about it. So I wanted to say this or bring this up, Mayor and councilors, let's not just discuss this. Let's get the people responsible for this, start to do something about it. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you. Thank you, Alternate Mayor Flaherty. Councillor Stevenson.
And thank you, Councillor Kunuk, for bringing this up. I appreciate it. I'd echo most of what Councillor Flaherty just said. I would, in the early days before we had a beer and wine store, there was a fair amount of public consultation. I don't know how many of you attended it, but it was very one-sided against the beer and wine store. Vocally, though there were certainly enough people in favor of the beer and wine store, sort of secretly, I guess, or non-vocally, that the plebiscite for it passed and it was brought in. I was one of the people who was vocally for the beer and wine store, and I would say that today I am no longer. It's an obvious problem in our community, and it is the source of the problem in a way that I didn't think it would be when I was in favor of it back in whenever that was, 2013 or 14. I know after it opened, Mayor Redfern at the time convened, because of all the concerns then, she convened a meeting of GN departments, health, social services, justice, as well as the RCMP, and discussed both the issues that had already been seen in our city by that point, and then also ways that we could either mitigate or close the beer and wine store. And at the time, there still wasn't enough momentum to close the beer and wine store, but I think that now there maybe is. I don't know. I know, and you know, we were provided with some information from the CAO to this weekend that didn't make it into the package, but was good information about where our powers do lie and whose responsibilities it is. I mean, the only thing that the city could do really would be request of the government of Nunavut that they choose to close the beer and wine store. We could make that request. We could make that motion. There were other very good motions proposed in that information provided, and I'd be satisfied with some of those as well. But I'm just saying that it's at some point going to be enough is enough. It's an obvious blight on our city, and it's an obvious problem that is exacerbated by the fact that we have a beer and wine store.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. So us as the city, we can request to our government if we want to do something or if we want them to do something. And Alternate Deputy Flaherty said it all. And we can request that, try and shut it down if we have to. We can do what Councillor Stevenson was suggesting, and Councillor Kunuk. Thank you, Mayor. What I'd really like done, write to the government and the Liquor Commission, a letter from council
that go up.
To see if we can, first of all, reduce the amount of beer and wine people can buy at once. I've gone there more than once. They just ask for the ID and maybe ask the buyer which community they're from, and follow whatever community laws there are. If there's no liquor allowed in a particular community, then don't allow the sale. So we have to look at things like that, because something needs to be done. I'd really like a letter coming from the city, from council. And if we don't do anything, don't start anything, then nothing will change. I'm not saying close down the liquor, beer and wine store. I know some people can drink responsibly, and there are many people that can drink responsibly. We're not worried about them, but Inuit ways are quite different from the Kalunaq ways, and we don't have a historical connection to alcohol. I think that has to be known more. I have a lot of compassion towards my Inuit, and I know they still amass down by the beer and wine store. I saw a big line. There must be some way we can make that not so apparent and follow the laws that were mentioned earlier, like no drinking in public places or outside. So I would encourage that be put into a motion. That's it. Thank you. My apologies, Councillor Gluka.
Matna Mayor Awa. Matna Councillor Kunuk, Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty, and Councillor Stevenson for your comments on this issue. I echo everything that all of you said. We can all agree that it's become such a huge issue since the opening of the beer and wine store. The safety of our residents, the safety of our families and children, and people that continue, even the people that utilize and purchase from the beer and wine store. Now, it's been mentioned here that when people come out of the beer and wine store, they're opening up their cans immediately. I've seen it happen. And we need to remember that the moment that they walk out of that store, a few hundred feet away, is a residential area. Residents continue to see the harms of alcohol right outside their doorstep. And, you know, I've read and I've heard of opinions of our community members that are on both sides of this issue. Whether we close the beer and wine store, it's not going to help with the impact of bootlegging. It's going to increase it. And, you know, we see this constantly going back and forth, like one outweighing the other. However, I feel like we're all in a position to influence decision and influence, I guess, a joint task force, how we could tackle this issue in an educational way, not just for the community, but for ourselves too, as decision makers and leaders in our community. And thank you, Sergeant Nikolovsky, for sticking around and hearing us throughout this discussion, because you guys also play a huge part in this moving forward. And the way forward is having these mutual discussions when it comes to such issue that involves something that is constantly harming our communities. Being the capital of Nunavut, we need to remember that, you know, we set a huge example for the rest of the territory. We set a huge example for our future leaders, our children today, and even for ourselves. People here in our council constantly inspire me to continue being a voice for our community. And how we do that is going to play a huge role, in how we manage these discussions and ensuring that it's a vision and a decision all across the board within our organizations. And it's going to take more than one meeting to come to a conclusion, like, how do we tackle this issue? Like, we've heard of, you know, we need to close it down, or maybe we shouldn't close it down. Like, I can understand, I'm no expert in this, but I can understand that taking it away is going to be a huge impact on the community, completely taking away a service that they've been relying on, and not in a healthy way, but it's something that they've been relying on for years now. And we need to take into consideration the health and well-being of community members, that this is their norm, this is their way, this is how they operate, this is what they rely on. But that's why I think, I can't remember which of you said it, but having someone had brought together justice, health, education, RCMP, other community members, other organizations, you know, that can help bring insight into what decisions could lead to other solutions or impacts, negatively and positively. So, you know, I echo what everyone said here, and I hope that whatever decision we make, whether it's a motion, that it is going to be something very impactful and that we do stick with it. Because I have a hard time even sending my own 13-year-old son out to go and play with his friends in fear that he is going to also encounter an intoxicated individual or group. I can't trust that he can walk to school and come home without running into problems because of intoxication. Public intoxication is such a huge issue. It's happening in the middle of the day. The moment that beer and wine store opens, it's happening the moment it opens. And the moment until, you know, people fall asleep. And we all know that it's extremely fearsome that winter is coming again. It comes every year. And the more people rely on the beer and wine store, and the more that they have this huge limit daily, 5 days out of the week, 5 or 6 days, depending on how old you are. If it's open and available to them that many days out of the week, especially on weekends, going into the winter, like, we need to create influence that and build a system through conversation, jointly with other people within our community, so that there's a safe way around navigating through these issues at the same time as dealing with the issues. It's not going to be one quick decision that solves all the problems, but it's going to be a huge time frame of different things happening and different discussions happening with different people, and hoping that, you know, in the end we do come up with a solution that tackles the serious public intoxication. Public intoxication has led to crime. Like, the amount of crime that happens in our community that we don't know of is beyond what we can manage. And if we can get to the root cause together as leaders of our community, voices for our community, and help influence decision makers, then we need to continue this conversation after today and more often. And I hope that, you know, after tonight, that, you know, because, you know, it's fall, it's going to be winter soon, and, like, I fear that people who abuse the beer and wine store and the limits, like, we need to act yesterday. And in Namakdo, it's okay, but we need to take time into these solutions because we need to make sure that it's going to be a long-term solution, not, well, let's try this out. If it doesn't work, well, we need to be smart about our conversations and be smart about the decisions that we make when it comes to having to have those discussions. Going into these discussions, and thank you, Councillor Kunuk, for bringing this up tonight, because so many people can voice exactly what we might need. More people at the table for this discussion, the better. Tema.
Thank you, Councillor Gluka. Do you wish to comment?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Kunuk, for bringing this forward. I'm very thankful for that. Thankful to listen to the discussion here this evening on it. If I can try to summarize so I know our direction moving beyond this meeting, we can, as you've done in the past, issue letters publicly to the Premier, to the Minister of Justice, the Minister of Finance, and the RCMP. I would like to make a couple of suggestions as well. The GP Committee, I think the Nunavut Liquor Act, which is a GN Act, is old, it's clunky, it needs to be updated, that possibly the GP Committee can have a look at it to make some recommendations that may give Council a little bit more authority over closures, because right now it's just a total closure, prohibition, which is not healthy for the community and really doesn't give the Council any tools to take immediate action. Amend, if you're going to make motions, amend to admin, so pass some direction to the administration here to start working with the administration of the RCMP, we do anyway, but also with the deputy ministers of those said departments. Some of those folks can be difficult sometimes to get into a meeting with a motion from council. It gives me a lot of ammunition in my pocket to do so. I do have a meeting scheduled with Staff Sergeant tomorrow morning to go through the findings of this meeting and start to piece together a positive path forward. I want to be clear that I'm not blaming the RCMP. I think their scope in this community is absolutely huge. And if too much effort is put in one area, something falls off the other side. I do hold the owner of the beer and wine store fully accountable, and that is the government of Nunavut. There's no supports for people that are vulnerable with addiction problem. There's no extra resources given to our CMP to do enforcement. There's very little other than, as ADM Flaherty suggested, other than a business occupying there. If that was a business that had a business license, I'm sure council would have already taken action on ending it properly. Make it an election issue would be a suggestion I make. There is a territorial election right now. Make it an issue by putting your letters out to the public. It gets talked about. There's transparency. And those folks running in the territorial election will take notice. I also think that there should be an elected official meeting after the election with your demands on accountability from the government of Nunavut to the residents of the city. I also think you have some allies in the hamlet of Rankin Inlet. They're going through some very similar issues over there. I talked to their SAO a couple of times. Then maybe you might even want to have a virtual meeting with the mayor and council over there on some strategies to work together. I want you to know whatever motions you make, we're here to, the admin's here to support it. I bet you everybody in this room tonight and everybody in this city has been affected by this issue, and the tolerance to it is getting lower and lower, so I'm thankful that you're having a discussion this evening. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Kunu. Thank you, Councillor Kunu.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't know if but
I'd like to get the opinion of the officer that we asked to stay, if he can.
Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty. No. Okay, yeah. Go ahead, Sergeant Nicholas Vicky. I hope I pronounced your name properly.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, everybody, for inviting me to this meeting. I also echo the problems that you guys outlined. Obviously, the alcohol, it's a big problem for the community. It's something that we've seen it. It's happening every day, except Saturday, Sunday and Monday. We are trying our best to fight this fight, but it seems like the RCMP is fighting it alone, right? I'm sure if we combine our partner agencies and we get everybody together, and we can come up with ideas and approaches that we can reduce the harm of liquor and alcohol in the community. I echo the idea of starting from the root cause of the problem, which is, you know, it's not just the liquor store itself, right? We have to go through treatment programs, so more that we can find some sort of a long-term solution, not just immediate band-aid to the problem. I'm here to discuss this further. I'm here to work with the councillor, the mayor, all the agencies that are available. Let's sit together and come up with some plans and ideas of how to approach this problem, right? So fully on board with that. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Chen Niklowski.
Mayor Abba.
Thank you, Mayor Abba.
With the comments by surrounding members, like I said, it's the regulator. The license holders are the one. There's two issues here. We're talking about liquor store, wine and beer store. And other issues, the bootleggers. I'm more focused, in my statement, I was more focused on wine and beer store. How it could be more regulated. The commission, liquor commission, and their board, they have authority, if they wish, to my understanding, is to penalize the liquor store. They do have right. I believe they do have that right. But I don't think they had, I don't think for once the board ever gone to the liquor store when it's open. See how it's functioning. If I remember correctly, the members are out in the other communities. So, and I'm saddened when I hear about the commission, liquor commission stating that they made so number of dollars in a year. But they don't talk about the issues we're talking about. The issues that comes out of from that, from their sales. So I think, and it's been like that for a long, long time, maybe even from day one. I think their mindset have to change too. We all have to work together and like I said earlier, it would be greatly appreciated if we get to meet the board or the commission, liquor commission. At least have a conversation. We're not here to dictate. We're not here to blast anybody. We're just trying to get some information and how we could work together. And this is what it's all about. I'm not talking about closure at all. Majority of the people I know have two, one beer once in a while. And I mean, that's standard. And we're just talking about a percent, small percentage that is created. But like I said earlier, if we start publish, if they, it's not the city, it's not the RCMP, it's the commission, start doing their job and showing us there's regulations that we have to comply. Maybe that will be the educational part that we need to direct to the public. It's a learning curve, but it has to start somewhere. So I just made a comment, and I just want to make a comment on that. And again, thank everybody to participating in that. And I'm pretty sure moving forward, we will have a other discussion on it. And
thank you, Alternate Mayor Flaherty. Yes, you are exactly right. We will have to write a letter, and we will have to plan the words that we want to put on the letter, and we can and perhaps meet with the leaders as to how we can write this letter and how to word it properly and submit it. I think that is the way to approach it. Steve, any more, Councillor Aloka?
A motion to support writing of letters to the Premier, Minister of Justice, the Minister of Finance, a public letter that's shared through our PSA avenues, GP committee to review the Liquor Act and suggest changes back to council and then on to the Governor of Nunavut. A motion to direct the administration to meet with the Deputy Minister of EIA, the DM of Justice, DM of Finance, and continue to work with the RCMP and report back to council. I think that's everything I heard. If I missed something beyond that, please let me know. Thank you.
My last comment is just going to be an appreciation for everyone's concerns and commitment to providing insight tonight. It is going to take a well-rounded approach for sure in how we establish a game plan and how we start these conversations. And thank you, CAO, for providing that list just now. I wondered if I might suggest maybe some key community members that could possibly be involved in that too. Because it will take, you know, a connection between organizations and the community itself to have that full insight into what and how we lead these discussions and how we can, you know, maybe come to, you know, a point where, or come to a direction, or what kind of direction these conversations will go, especially with, you know, a passionate direction too from the community itself. I'm not sure, but like I said, a well-rounded approach is definitely going to be key, because it's going to impact all different parts of our community, different aspects of our community, emotional, mental well-being of our community, and however that looks like. I hope that we do reach at every farthest corner of our community as much as possible when it comes to this issue. Matna.
All good.
We take that. Yeah. Yeah, I can make a motion. Councillor Stevenson.
Glenn, let me get you about that. And just for process, so Steve had suggested a motion. It's a multiple pointed motion, I guess, but I would move that motion as he described it.
When make Casimir Stevenson for the motion, what the chief CAO was reading and checking in by Councillor Akluka. Any comments and questions? Being none, all in favor? Unanimous, thank you. Okay, that's committee report none. Correspondent Nunavut Research Institute. We need a motion to approve. Moved by Councillor Akluka. Seconded by Auckland Deputy Mayor Flaherty. Question and comment to the motion? Being none, all in favor? Unanimous, thank you. No in camera. Adjournment, your motion. Councillor Akluka, seconded by Councillor Davidson. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. We're going to make Andrew, Lydia.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Lydia, for helping us. Goodbye. Good evening.